What's up, listeners of the REI Marketing Weekly? So today's episode is going to be another rerun episode. This is something that I actually want to do periodically because there's a lot of really good relevant episodes that have come out on this show in the early days when not a lot of people were listening to it. So I want to resurface some of these better episodes that have just really, really good contextual information inside of it. So today we're going to actually rerun the episode with one of my good buddies, Mike Hambright, and we're talking about tracking your marketing. And actually we go into a lot of different topics. One of the main ones is using the right list sources so that you're not going into the woods with, you know, hundreds of other real estate investors that are in your market and that kind of thing, and how, you know, leveraging direct mail, cold calling, SMS, and all that stuff has a lot to do more with your list than anything else. And so we're going to talk about that with Mike, and he's got an incredible platform called Investor Machine that he'll talk about as well, and how to leverage that in order to stand out in your market. And so many of you guys know who Mike Hambright is, an incredible human being, great marketer, one of the smartest, most intelligent marketers I've ever met in the real estate investing industry. So I'm going to resurface this episode, and there was a couple of things that we talked about that may have had anything to do with like COVID or some of the time era before COVID. And so if you hear something like that, then just, you know, make sure that you take that into account. So it's a great, great episode. So you guys make sure you take notes, listen very carefully, make sure you're implementing everything that we talk about here. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into it. Mr. Mike Hambright talking about tracking your marketing. What is going on, guys? Welcome back to the REI Marketing Weekly Newsletter. And thank you again for being a subscriber to the newsletter. I appreciate it. There's a lot of incredible content that goes down in the newsletter from this is normally my favorite segment, which is the Who's Crushing It segment. I get actual practitioners of real estate investing on this show to talk about things that they're doing in marketing that they're crushing and dominating it. And even if it's like the smallest things, I mean, I remember the first show that we had was with Jimmy Ogle, and he was talking about how he changed up his postcard just to add a family photo, and he got a lot more results from just doing that. And so just small things like this. And then there's other big things that we could talk about as well. I mean, so that's why I got the man of the hour on the show right now, which is Mike Hambright himself. Guys, if you're a real estate investor, obviously you're like watching this segment right now because you subscribe to the newsletter. But if you don't know who Mike Hambright is, you are living under a rock. So let's just bypass all the like fluff and just say that. So Mike, man, I appreciate you being on the show. For like the 1% of people that don't know who you are, do me a favor, introduce yourself real quick, who you are, what you do. And then we got like a new thing that you're bringing up that we'll be talking about on the show here. But just for the people that don't know who you are, do me a favor, introduce yourself.
Thanks, Josh. Awesome to be here with you, my friend. So I'm Mike Hambright. I'm a real estate investor in the Dallas-Fort Worth market. I've been an investor for about 12 years or so, a little over 12 years. And I've flipped hundreds of houses down here, and it's evolved. Like a lot of people's business that have been around for a while, you start to bolt on all kinds of stuff and layer in other things from, we don't do property management ourselves, but we have a rental portfolio. Got into coaching about 10 or 11 years ago. So I've coached literally thousands of people at this point. Started flipnerd.com about 6 years ago. And we've done over 1500 video podcasts, in the past 6 years. Have a few different flavors of podcasts now, and try, you know, over 6 years, you try lots of different things, right?
So, yeah.
You know, run a mastermind for real estate investors called Investor Fuel, Experienced Real Estate Investors, which Josh is a part of that as well. Mm-hmm. And we got all kinds of, you know, stuff going on. So when you're kind of if you have shiny object syndrome like me, you're constantly like testing stuff or trying new things and pivoting until you find stuff that works, and got a few things that are working really well. So.
Yeah. Before we jumped on the show, Mike's like, how do you do it, Josh? You're a clone. I'm like, dude, you're like a clone army. I mean, like, holy crap. You're asking me if I'm a clone. I mean, this guy does an insane amount of things in the real estate investing industry, and he has definitely impacted the industry just beyond, I mean, what most people can even like fathom doing. And so if you guys aren't listening to the Flip Nerd shows or the Investor Fuel shows, I mean, you absolutely got to go listen to them. Obviously everything we talk about, the shows, any resources we talk about are going to be linked in the description below. So make sure you go check those out.
And then also I'll give Mike the opportunity to tell you guys how to connect with him if you would like to learn more about the Investor Fuel Mastermind, which I'll talk about that too a little bit later on. But everything's linked below, so make sure you check that out. So Mike, we're going to be talking about lead generation. This is a huge topic, obviously. There's like, if you don't have leads, you can't close deals, period.
That's right.
And I know that we've had micro conversations with other guests on the show specifically about how they generate leads, but we're going to be talking about it in a little bit of a different perspective when it comes down to it. So the first thing I want to like kind of pick your brain about, and we didn't even like, and this is how I run the shows, is we don't prepare for this stuff. I want to like just kind of like have a conversation with you as the guest. Let's talk about the kind of like what lead generation actually is, because a lot of people think that it's marketing and it's only marketing, but marketing covers like this massive, it's this massive umbrella over a bunch of different silos, and lead generation is inside of marketing, but it's not just marketing. So let's talk about how you have brought your lead generation and amped it up for your business and made things happen in order to be able to, get proper leads coming in the door.
Yeah. I mean, if your audience is kind of unfamiliar with the importance of lead generation, really for any business, right? I mean, if you don't have leads, so a lead is a prospective, I kind of give this analogy of like a retail store, right? And for a retail store, that is customers coming in the door and looking around. Like, they may or may not buy, but if they don't come into the store, they're never going to buy, right? So, it's really the same thing. We need customers coming in our door all the time as real estate investors. And for most real estate investors, that means a phone call, or somebody's calling in from direct mail or something else, or it could be text message marketing leads, which has obviously gotten popular now, or it could be internet-based leads. So you have to constantly be finding ways to get people, to convince them to come into your store, which is to pick up the phone or fill out a form or something, right? So a lot of people say, well, I built a website. And the truth is like, there's, I don't even know, billions of websites, right? Like,
yeah.
At the end of the day, like a website means nothing. The fact that you have a phone means nothing if nobody knows how to open the door and come in, right? So that's what marketing is, or that's, one of the flavors of marketing.
Right.
Is kind of the direct response part, or somebody that was going to get people to come to you. So the truth is for real estate investors, there's kind of two things I'll say is a lot of people get started, and I'm not, there's nothing wrong with not having a lot of money when you get started. You just have to hustle more, right? But at the end of the day, all your hustle should be towards getting customers to contact you, or you contacting customers.
Yeah.
Because the prettiest postcard in the world doesn't mean anything if nobody sees it. Like, if nobody sees your marketing or knows you exist, you don't exist, right?
Right. And so let's like park on this for a second, because I know you're really big about this whole hustle thing, and I am too. Both of us, we are very hard workers. We hustle when we need to. I always like to tell people I hustle like 24/7, whether that's hustling while I'm sleeping and sleeping the hardest that I can. I'm on a date with my wife, I'm hustling during that time, that kind of thing. But when it comes to like work, I mean, you could really, really spin your wheels in the mud and throw marketing dollars directly down the trash if you're not building it out correctly. And applying that to like leads, like you said, that would be interested in even coming to the store and purchasing anything in your store. Talk about that. Like how do you determine what kind of marketing you're going to put forth in order to bring leads into your store, so to speak?
Yeah. I mean, a couple things are, how much of that, if you kind of have this money and hustle balance, like it's got to come from somewhere. Either you're hustling it up or you're spending money to kind of hustle for you, right? Sure. And so if you don't have a lot of money, like, some common things are putting out bandit signs. I'm not a big fan of bandit signs. I kind of feel like anything that you have to do in the dark of night and has the word bandit in it is probably not a sustainable marketing strategy.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Not if you got to do that to get started or whatever, that's fine. That's your prerogative. But it's not sustainable, right? You can't scale that in most cases. Or text message marketing, which is pretty cost effective now. But the way that this has evolved over the last, 5+ years, marketing for seller leads, right, is that who you market to you used to be able to like be a shotgun approach and just kind of hit everybody, but it's too competitive for that today. So you've got to become a sniper you know, more so of a sniper than a shotgun approach. Mm-hmm. And so it turns out that everything comes down to data, you know, or a big part of it comes down to data. Like who are you marketing to? Because you can't afford to just market to everybody, right? And so at the end of the day, one of the problems that a lot of real estate investors have is they have some money for marketing. And because we're, you know, real estate investors are notoriously like cheap asses, right? We just like never pay retail for anything. Right. We're frugal. I'm just going to do it myself, whatever, all those things. That's going to kill you in marketing, because the problem is people will take their limited resources and spend money on marketing. And more often than not say, well, I'm going to go after the super cheap list and I'm going to use the cheapest like things. And it's like, well, it seems cheap, like per like postcard or whatever. Yeah, that's cheap.
Yeah.
To send it, but it's a total waste if you're sending it to the wrong person, mm-hmm. right? And so that's where really kind of technology and data is coming to play.
So what are some things that you do to like figure out who that person is that you need to send that postcard to, or you need to send that ad? You know, put that ad in front of the,
yeah,
that person.
Yeah. So what's common now is, you know, in the past, people would say, we'll mail to, if they, it could be age-based and equity-based. Are they an absentee owner? So they don't live at the house, and which means it's probably a rental, which they probably hate being a landlord. You kind of make some assumptions, right? Or they have enough equity to be able to sell if they were motivated. So I'll mail to them just in case they're motivated. Like, that's so wasteful these days. Yeah. So all you can really do, unless you're like an ambulance chaser or something like that, and you know, like, hey, somebody just died, like I'm going to go buy this house, is look for indicators, right? That's all you can really do, is stuff like, you know, probate, back taxes, different kinds of liens, water shut off, like lots of things that might indicate that person has distress in their life and is more likely to sell their house than, you know, the average person with none of those things.
Yeah.
And so like in my instance, you know, my house is paid off. That doesn't mean I'm motivated to sell just because I have equity, right?
Right.
And I don't have any sort of liens against it. I don't have any, you know, my wife and I didn't recently get divorced, no deaths, nothing like that. So there's no indicators, but a typical real estate investor might be pounding my house with mail because they have equity and it's in a desirable area or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. and it's just, that's totally wasteful. Yeah. And so, so you have to look for those indicators to say, is there potentially, it's like if you go to the doctor, right? You get a physical, they're checking your blood pressure, they might check your blood. They're just doing tests to see, are there any flags that pop up that we might need to drill deeper, right? That's sure. what you're looking for.
Gotcha. So obviously the source for that is going to be lists, right?
Yeah. And that's the problem is, you know, there are lists, there's Listability, ListSource, a bunch of different sources out there, but none of them are all inclusive. Like they're all, there's like the big national guys that know like size of the house, how long the seller's owned it for, how much equity they might have. But they don't have local data, which is through the counties and cities that would know, are there mowing liens? Do they have back taxes? Like all these things. And then even in the counties, you know, you have to overlay probates and other things that usually, you know, are not necessarily tied to the real estate specifically, but it's tied more to the seller. So you have to kind of layer in seller information on top of that. So the data is kind of out there,
yeah.
But the truth is it's a huge pain to do this. This is why
a
lot of people don't do it.
Yeah. Right? I know for myself, like I'm not a data person. I hate data. The only reason why I ever study data is because, you know, for instance, with the clients that I have, I send them analytics back for like the engagement and all that stuff, the vanity metrics that I like to call them, but they still right. want to see those numbers. But I hate doing it. So I delegated that to somebody yeah. else. And then their job is to actually curate the content specifically for the engagement that it's getting. But you know, for somebody that's out there that maybe, you know, they don't like data, they don't like to look at it. Maybe they don't even know what it is. They're so naive about it, which isn't a terrible thing. I mean, you know, you got strengths and weaknesses, but there's people out there that have no clue what to even look for. Like, what would you tell those people? What is important to look for? What is important? I mean, you've talked about it a little bit here.
Yeah.
But what's the best use of data in order to get in front of those right people so that they can get the good leads?
Yeah. So one of the things it's interesting when you look at kind of what we do as real estate investors is there's typically not a whole lot of innovation. Like there's a few marketing things like SMS marketing is pretty popular right now. It didn't really, you know, nobody talked about it 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. RVMs have come and are largely gone now because there's some legal issues with ringless voicemails. You know, people are cold calling. They're still doing that, but you can even feel that's winding down. There's probably be some law in some states, it's already illegal. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's laws against these things. At the end of the day, there's a, things that kind of come and go, right? So one of the probably bigger innovations, which it's really intuitive, has been finding data and then what we kind of refer to as list stacking. So it's like this. If you go to the doctor and you had a physical and you're like, you have high blood pressure, you got like something going on with your skin, like there's all these different things. They're like, you're, you know, if you just had high blood pressure, that's one thing. It's like, yeah. Well, if you got this and this and this and this, it's like, you got bigger issues than we thought, you know, because you like, they all stack on top of each other. You're like combining these issues. Right. So that is really where things are taking a turn now for sure. People that are willing to do this now. So there's some great tools out there like Batch Lead Stacker for stacking up data. And there's great tools out there, but the hardest part is still getting the data because it's a lot of work. And the truth is, you know, and I talk to people about this all the time. They're like, well, I got the list. I'm like, you got a snapshot of the list at the time you grabbed it, but the next day it was outdated. And then there's also stuff that needs to kind of fall off the list. Like some eventually people pay their taxes and, when you get divorced, you're not distressed for the rest of your life. Like at some point, you know, things move on. Right. And so all these lists have a shelf life, if you will. Right. They're like, they're not good forever. Like things change. Right. So, so that's the hard part is not only finding out how to get the data, it's refreshing it on a weekly or certainly monthly basis to say what's changed. Because if you're in a major market, if you're in any market, it doesn't matter how small a market you're in. Every day there's people dying. There's people getting divorced. There's people that are evicting crappy tenants. Like all these things that create opportunities for us as real estate investors are happening all day long, every day, everywhere across the country.
Yeah. I think this is why it's extremely important for you guys to keep a pulse on the, you know, the marketing side of your business is because of this. Like exactly what he just ended this with is you got to make sure that you're studying the data and then putting it in the right places. Because like we mentioned, I mean, you may have been doing RVMs, you know, 6 months ago, and now it's kind of winding down a little bit. You probably weren't doing text messaging, you know, 4 years ago. You weren't doing Facebook 12 years ago. So, I mean, things, and a lot of times, Mike, it's the marketing really that is the most innovation. The most innovation that goes on in a business is the marketing because, you know, what they say is marketers ruin everything, right? So,
that's true.
You know,
constantly, whatever works today, like it's just a matter of time before that's how, you know, even text messaging is that way today. Like it was like this, like oasis in the desert for a little while. Yep. And now a lot more people are doing it. And, you know, the next thing will pop up. Like, we don't know what that is yet. But, you know, just things continue to evolve. Things that used to work don't work as well. And then things come back around. Like, cold calling has been around forever, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it really wasn't being used for real estate investors for a long time. It kind of came into play. And it'll go away and it'll come back. And, you know, the interesting thing about mail, because a lot of people will be like, oh, mail's dead. Well, I can tell you that our business is like mail is definitely the foundation of everything we do. And a lot of successful real estate investors will tell you that. The biggest difference is the data they're using to mail to instead of just throwing it out there to everybody. And the interesting thing about mail is since the post office is effectively a quasi-government agency, they're never going to outlaw junk mail because the post office is already having a profitability issue, right? So the more junk mail, the merrier.
That's right. Exactly. And that's something very interesting that I've come across in the real estate investors that I've worked with. I mean, I worked with close to 50 investors last year doing their content marketing. Awesome. And I could tell you probably every single one of them are still doing direct mail and getting good results from it. And most of them, it's their best lead source, which is like extremely interesting. But I guess, Mike, like kind of the thing that I want to lead into as well, and I want to pick your brain on a couple more things, but there's like, I mean, we could do like a 2-hour show just on data, the importance of it, finding the right data, how to use it properly and, you know, build it out correctly with your marketing. But we're going to save that for another time because I wanted to hit on like kind of the importance of data and then, why people may not be getting results that they're looking for from the data. So if somebody's like, you know, Mike, I agree with everything that you're saying, but I am not good with data. I don't really want to do much with it, which is causing me to still put out those bandit signs and send postcards to every single person that is on this list. Like what, I mean, there's plenty of obviously education out there to learn this kind of stuff,
but
would you tell them to outsource that stuff? Would you tell them to hire somebody in-house or continue to do it themselves? I mean, how does somebody like go about doing this the right way?
It's like anything. Like if you're good at it, you could do it yourself, or you could teach somebody how to, you can outsource it to somebody on your team or a VA or somebody. So, you know, at the end of the day, if you screw up your mail, let's say, or even if you're text message marketing, the data, you still need that data. You still want to use it for text message marketing, cold calling, any of those things. Yeah. You just obviously skip trace and find the phone numbers associated with that, with the list that the data is telling you is people that are believed to be the most distressed, have the most distressed kind of flags going on. So if you want to do it yourself, that's fine. If you want to outsource it, you know, and have somebody manage your data and your mail and all that, people can totally do that. Right. So it's just a matter of, you know, you have to stay like, are you comfortable outsourcing your data to a VA, let's say, cause they're cheap and they'll get it done. And if somebody copies and pastes like a column wrong somewhere and you mail that out, like you just wasted all that money. Right. And
yeah.
I know people that's happened to you easily, you know, you probably might even know some yourself that send something out with the wrong phone number, or they fat fingered it and typed the wrong number. And I didn't get any calls from my mail. Oh, that's not even my number. Like, I'll tell you when that happens, like you just want to cry. Right. So, And so, you know, we realize this is a big enough issue to where we actually created a solution for this. Recently. We've just been rolling it out here nationally after beta testing it for a while in DFW. So
let's talk about it.
Okay. Well, we have a kind of a done for you, done with you service, because we know that consistent high quality lead generation is a problem for the typical real estate investor. Mm-hmm. And so, and you know, the stuff that we're doing, the stuff I kind of talked about here is stacking up data, managing mail for people, like all those things. It's like, we're not doing anything that anybody can't do themselves. It's just a matter of, are you doing it consistently? And do you even want to be doing it? Or,
do you know how to do it right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think the average real estate investor, you know, we just take on too much stuff. We're doing like acquisitions, we're doing marketing, we're like checking on rehabs, trying to raise money, trying to do all these things. And, you know, that's why a lot of real estate investors' businesses don't grow, because they don't find ways to kind of outsource some of that stuff. And then honestly, one of the things that goes by the wayside most often is consistent lead generation. Like, I know I need to order my mail, but I need to scrub off the people that said, take me off your list. I haven't done that yet. And so I'll get to it as soon as I can. And what does that cost you to not have the phone consistently ringing, have your mail drop like clockwork every single week on Tuesday? You know, what does that cost you to not have that? And very few people have that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So tell us about Investor Machine. So brand new platform. I'm excited about this. I mean, the website's already up and running. I'm on it right now. So what can people expect with this? It's a done for you lead generation tool.
Yeah,
that investors can take advantage of. Tell us about it.
That's right. So yeah, when a member joins, we're effectively part agency, you know, part community, a little bit of folks that can learn from each other, and really kind of outsourced marketing manager. So when somebody joins the program, we go through an interview process because we really want experienced investors. I mean, if you're not used to buying directly from a seller and knowing that you consistently have to spend money on advertising, then you're probably not the right fit for us. But for experienced investors, we basically tap into their market. So we pull, you know, a lot of real estate investors pull agent equity or absentee owners, and they kind of stop there. Do they have equity as absentee owner? And they stop. And a lot of gurus teach that. I mean, it's kind of crazy. It's really a disservice to new real estate investors because they're just going to waste a bunch of money and be out of the game, you know? But so then we layer in all, so we go into that person's market, which is a county for us. And then we tap into as much local market, local data as we can, things we talked about, probate, tax delinquent, recent mowing liens, water shutoffs, anything we could possibly get that are all kind of red flags. Like, does somebody have three of these things? Do they have four of these things? Do they have one of these things? And we effectively stack up the data and let the data tell us where the best place to start with marketing dollars are. So we actually take it to another level and a third level of data, which is personal preferences. So our members fill out kind of a lengthy survey, and they rank the zip codes that they're marketing in, size of properties, price points of properties, size of lots. Do they want land? Like a lot of other criteria, because, you know, somebody that just wants to buy rentals might target very different houses than somebody that just wants to be kind of a mid-level property rehabber or higher level, right? So they would target very different properties. And so we factor all that in and say, based off of this and based off of your budget, this is who you should mail to. And then we manage the mail, and we order it like clockwork. We scrub it and try to make sure their mail is efficient as possible. And then if they want all that skip traced, then they can get all the associated phone numbers and market to those folks too. So
yeah, man, yeah. That is absolutely incredible. So if you guys want to learn more about it, I will have the website linked below. So make sure you check that out. It's called theinvestormachine.com is where you can go to sign up or learn more about it.
T-H-E, theinvestormachine.com. H-E. Yeah.
That's right. So I'll have a direct link below, guys. So just click on that and head over there. And I'll just tell you one thing, guys. Every single client that I work with content marketing, the reason why, there's three reasons why they work with me. Number one is because they don't have time to do it. Number two is they don't know how to do it. And number three is they don't want to do it. And most of you probably fall into the silo when it comes to managing your direct mail, managing your text message marketing, your RVMs, all that stuff. And this platform will do that for you. So I think if you're an active investor and you're having trouble bringing leads in the door, I mean, this is a no-brainer. You absolutely got to take advantage of this, at least learn about it. So make sure you do that. So I'm going to link that below. Mike, I told you I was going to keep this short. I appreciate everything that you've shared so far.
Yeah,
man.
Incredible
nuggets. To wrap this up, is there anything that we have not talked about in marketing that maybe you're seeing today that is working for active investors in their marketing? Maybe it's directly related to lead generation, or maybe it's directly related to the actual conversion side of it. Any other secrets that you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, we're not going to be able to keep this as short as you want to, Josh, if you keep asking me questions like that. You know, I just, you're obviously friends with John Martinez, and I just recorded a new podcast episode with John a couple hours ago. And we talk a lot about content and marketing, and really starting the marketing earlier, because a lot of real estate investors for a long, long time, and I'm guilty of this too, we're sending direct response marketing. I pay cash, want to sell now? I pay cash, want to sell now? Mm-hmm. And then we follow up. Did you sell it yet? Did you sell it yet? Did you sell it yet? Instead of kind of branding, building trust, here's how we help people, just kind of getting out further ahead of somebody's decision to kind of build your brand and talk about things. And you know, I'd say, and I've kind of struggled with this over the last 6 years with FlipNerd about branding, it's at the end of the day, you know, people like our logo, right? But at the end of the day, people that work with me want to work with me, like right or wrong, they want to work with me, right? And so I think a lot of us as real estate investors, we try to hide behind a PO box and a logo, or a fancy name, or a name that sounds cool, or whatever. At the end of the day, people want to work with people, and especially the types of people that we deal with, they want to work with people that they feel confident can help them solve their problems. So I think, you know, content marketing and just being yourself, and, you know, saying you're a part of the community, saying you're trying to help your community and you have a family. And so I think gone are the days where we're hiding behind logos and some broad kind of brush statements or taglines that pretty much everybody else uses too.
Right. And that's why I pushed content marketing so hard, guys. And Mike is like a massive believer. I mean, when he sent me over, so we actually produce a good chunk of content for Mike's personal brand, the Color Media team does. And so he's a very big believer in content marketing. I mean, I've never seen such an intense content marketing plan when he sent that over. I was like, man, this is awesome.
It was aspirational. Aspirational. 10 or 12 pieces of content a day. Is that too much to ask for?
No. I mean, you got guys like Gary Vee that's telling people put out 80 or 90. So
yeah, I can't match that yet.
Jeez. But I mean, this guy is just absolutely on board with content marketing. But another thing that you said that I've been thinking about a lot lately, and actually John brought this up to me as well, is that, like, you know, real estate is more than ever a local market business, right? So, I mean, it's very localized. It's not a national industry anymore. It's very localized to your specific market. And so more than ever, people are wanting humanized companies to work with, because now we're, you know, chatbots are huge. AI is huge. You know, these automated text messaging, automation and marketing, all this stuff is really big. but I feel like it's kind of contracting back down to people wanting humans.
People want to deal with people. Yeah.
You know, when I call the mortgage company,
getting this auto dialer, press one for this, three for that, four for that. And I'm like,
I'm over here at zero 20 times. Like,
exactly. And they've gotten smart and that doesn't even work anymore now.
Like, yeah, exactly.
That zero was not an option.
Okay. Yeah. And it's so funny. I mean, you got somebody like me that when I go to Target, which is the only store I ever walk into, I go directly to the self-checkout lane. But then when I get on the phone with my mortgage company, I want to talk to somebody like right now. Like, I don't want to go through an automation and sit on hold for 30 minutes. I want to go directly to somebody. But I think it's becoming that way with, you know, real estate, and especially with motivated sellers, is they want to deal with human beings. Not automation. And so I think that's important.
And the people that do want to deal with like automation, I don't want to have to talk to anybody. Those people exist, but those people are now you're competing against the iBuyers. And if you think you can compete, then that's fine. You got to have some deep pockets probably.
Yeah.
If you want to compete on the people that want to deal with somebody personally, that's where you have to compete. You have to build 100%. Trust, you have to build your brand. Loyalty, all those things. So it's harder to compete against the Goliaths out there, you know.
But. Absolutely. Man, that's another conversation. I'll have you back so we can talk about that. That'll be awesome.
All right,
cool, man. Hey, Mike, thank you for being on the show, man. I appreciate you sharing everything you have. Last thing here is if somebody wanted to get in contact with you and wanted to connect, maybe learn more about Investor Fuel. Again, guys, I'm going to have everything linked below, but Mike, let people know how they can get in contact with you or your team.
Yeah, the best place is I'm a bit of a Facebook addict, Facebook and Instagram. So Facebook, you can find me at Mike Hambright. Instagram, I think I am at The Mike Hambright.
You
probably know better than me.
The Mike Hambright.
And we're putting a lot of focus on putting content out there. And, you know, the brands are flipnerd.com, which is kind of general real estate information, education, and stuff like that. If you're new or newer, even if you're not newer, we have a ton of content that probably, you know, over 1500 videos. So a lot of content. Of course, our mastermind is Investor Fuel. So that's investorfuel.com. And then The Investor Machine is our kind of agency model that we talked about here just a little bit. So any of those places, connect with me on social media is probably the best.
Absolutely. And real quick, guys, 20 seconds, I want to talk about Investor Fuel. So I've only been to the Investor Fuel mastermind once. But I have had about 15 clients or so come my way from Investor Fuel, even before I stepped in front of the room. And when I stepped in front of the room, I realized like, holy crap, like this is the most abundant mindset and investor mastermind I've ever been a part of. I mean, every single person in that room is willing to share. I mean, it's a brotherhood in there is what it really is. Even the new members.
Yeah, we have some sisters too.
Yeah. And it's a brother and sisterhood. Exactly, man. There's some incredible people in there, but everybody that comes, you know, that's an active investor and you walk in that room, you're going to feel that same way. I mean, just like open arms, very welcoming. People are going to share with you no matter who you are. So I think it's an incredible group. If you guys want to learn more about it, I am pushing people to Investor Fuel. So again, investorfuel.com, it'll be linked below. Make sure you check it out. If you're an active investor and you're taking your business very seriously and you want to grow, head over there and check it out. It's going to be totally worth it. So there's a testimonial for you, Mike.
Yeah. All sorts of plugs. I didn't realize there was going to be, hopefully people don't feel like it's too much of an infomercial, but you know, we've got some good things going on at the end of the day. I mean, I've been a real estate investor for a long time. What I love more than anything is helping entrepreneurs achieve financial freedom and all that entails. It's not about, you get to a point where it's not about the money. It's about how do people use that as a tool to impact their lives and their communities and stuff like that. And so I get far more joy out of helping other people than, you know, transactional type deals at this point in my career. And so we put a lot of effort on trying to help people and connect people and all those things.
Absolutely. And you guys can just tell by the amount of content, the amount of free content that Mike puts out. So huge testament to that. So Mike, again, man, I appreciate you jumping on. Thank you for your time. Thank you for spending time with my audience and being here. And I look forward to having you back soon.
Yeah, we'll see you soon.
Awesome. All right, guys, that's going to do it for the Who's Crushing It segment of the REI Marketing Weekly. Make sure you're checking out the rest of the content that's going down in the newsletter. Share this around with your friends. Contact me if you have any questions, josh@colormedia.com. And again, make sure to check out all the links in the description below. Check you guys out later. See ya.